to the principal, to the board, and to the faculty, and especially to the graduates of FEBC at the 39th graduation service, and to all of you, friends, who have come this evening to support God's Bible College. Of all the 27 New Testament books, if you look at them very carefully, there is one of them that has no conclusion, and that is the book of Acts. It is as if God is telling us that this book of Acts is the book of the Holy Spirit, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, continues to be written. Whenever the word of God is preached, whenever a new convert comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever a new sound and biblical church is born, the word of God is defended. We add another page, another chapter to the book of Acts, witnessing for Christ till he comes. It is the reason why God has saved us and allowed us to remain on earth. Because immediately after salvation, we are all fit for heaven. The sanctification process on earth is not to make us more fit for heaven. Remember the thief who was crucified with Christ, who asked the Lord Jesus Christ to remember him. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Today, immediately, the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're already fit for heaven. And therefore, we have to ask ourselves this question. Why did God allow us to remain on earth for such a long time? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years for some of us. There is only one purpose. And that purpose is given to us by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be His witnesses. That's why we are here on earth for. And to the graduates of FEBC, do not forget that not only are you an ordinary believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been entrusted with the high calling to serve the Lord Jesus Christ full time. And therefore, your standard of witness for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, must be above everyone else. As pastors, your standard of holiness, your requirement of holiness from you has to be the highest among all the church members. And they have every right to expect that high standard of holiness from you. Because where you are, you represent our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They must no longer see you. They must now see only Christ. By the way you speak, by the way you live, by the way that you dress, by the places that you go to, by the places you do not go to, by the people that you associate with. All these must matter, because that's exactly what the word witness entails. It is not just the ability to preach the word. It is not just the ability to memorize the word, to write good articles defending the word of God on paper. If you defend the word of God on paper and your life does not reflect an obedience to the holy and sacred scriptures and the perfect word of God, you are nothing but a hypocrite. And you are more dangerous than someone who openly attacked the Bible. He tells you, "I am an attacker of the Bible. I believe the Bible has mistakes." He tells you up front. And you know where he stands. As opposed to someone who says that he is for VPP. He is for the perfect Bible. But he doesn't care much about obeying the Bible. And what he has done is to dull your discernment. You think he is on your side. You think he's on the side of Christ because he has written the paper that is sound, that is good, that is biblical. But his life is otherwise. Be God's witnesses till the Lord Jesus comes. How to do it? The Lord Jesus says in verse 8a, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." One of the most dangerous things that FEBC students encounter is this. In FEBC, we study the Word of God full time. We spend hundreds of hours during our 3 to 4 years in FEBC. That's all we do. We study, and the Bible is like a textbook. We study hermeneutics, the principles of interpretation. We study how to craft a sermon. We study a lot of tools to equip us. And the danger is this. We think that we can now dispense with the Holy Spirit. That we can do it now on our own and we don't need the Holy Spirit to help us. And that has been the bane of many graduates of FEPC and other seminaries. They think that because now we have experience, now I have learned the tools of crafting a sermon, I don't need to pray. I don't need to help. I don't need the help of the Holy Spirit. How wrong we are. These disciples after 3.5 years of tutelage under the Lord Jesus himself, and before the Lord ascended into heaven to be with God the Heavenly Father, he told the disciples, before he told them to be his witnesses, he said, you wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And we know that to be a reference to Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God filled them, empowered them, so much so that they became new persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to do the work of God. Do you know why you and I must always need the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us? Because the moment you stop leaning upon the Holy Spirit and you lean on yourself, no matter how clever you are, you're going to become a casualty. It's only a matter of time. Does not matter how rich you are, how clever you are, how high your IQ is. It's useless against the evil one. Because Jesus tells us, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. You always wrestle against principalities in high places. Satan will laugh at your money. He will laugh at your experiences. He will laugh at your intellect. But he will fear the word of God. He will fear the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that God's servants have been blessed with by God. So never stop leaning upon the Holy Spirit. To all of us, especially to the graduates. You're going to go back to your countries, for some of you, and you're going to fight God's battle no more within the walls of FEPC to give you the assurance of protection. You don't need FEPC walls to give you the assurance. What you need is the filling of the Holy Spirit. That is who you must always lean upon, to receive the power from the Spirit of God to help you earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Not just with your mouth, but also with your life. That is why we tell the students in class that when you give a message behind the pulpit, remember it is not giving a message on pen and paper. You are sharing with them a part of your life. It is a message that you must be convicted by. It is a message that you must have obeyed and believed in and lived out in your life. And every time you stand behind the pulpit to give a message, you give a part of yourself to your congregation. To let them know that this is not just theory. This is life. This is the living word. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will enable you to preach with conviction, where heart and souls of men and women will be touched by your obedience to the word of God. God will use you as a vessel cleansed and fit for the master's use. Because remember, the power for witnessing is from the Holy Spirit alone. Nowhere else. Not from the college. Not from within yourself. You are not clever enough. The Holy Spirit is the only one who can help you. Because that is the role of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one that God the Father sent to die on the cross for our sins. The Holy Spirit's role is to indwell us, to fill us, to lead us, to guide us, to help us understand the truth, to preach the truth, to teach the truth, and to live out the truth in our lives. That's the power for witnessing that all of us need, especially to all you graduates. Never forget that out there is a sinful, wicked, dangerous world. The aim and purpose is to destroy the work of Jesus Christ. If you are not empowered by the Spirit of God to do His work, then you are the other side. There is no neutrality. The other side means you have become a pawn and a tool of Satan. Because you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a preacher of God's word, and then you belong to the evil one because you do not live a holy life. That brings us to the blueprint for witnessing. The power for witness is the Holy Spirit. The blueprint, second half of verse 8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus says. Ye shall be my witnesses, no longer your own. Not the church. It's Jesus Christ. Nobody else. And to do that, you have to know God's word. You have to live out the word of God in your life. You must literally die to self. They must now look at you. They must see only Jesus Christ, not your name. They must see Christ by the way that you live. You have to say the words of the Apostle Paul. Be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. This must be what we all desire from our hearts. Tell your family, tell your church members, look at how I live. You will see Christ, followers of me as I follow Christ. That will help you to be circumspect. That will help you to be more careful with the way that you live. These kind of platitudes that sounds good, sounds noble. Don't look at me, I'm not perfect. Look at Christ. Look at Christ. Don't look at me. These kind of platitudes are nice to listen to, but very unbiblical. All right, I want to look at Christ. You tell me where he is. I want to look at Christ. You please tell me. Tell me how I can see Christ, find Christ. What did the Bible tells us? Where is Christ today? Christ is in your life and in my life. Why do you think Jesus says, you and I are now the salt and light in this world? That by your good works, they will glorify our Father who art in heaven. Now, how will they glorify our Father who art in heaven? For unbelievers, how are they going to glorify our Father who art in heaven? Only one way. They become believers themselves. That means they have to see Christ. For other believers, how will other believers be encouraged and be strengthened to also glorify our Father who art in heaven? Also Christ. So how are they going to find Christ? Where are they going to see Christ? Your life. That is why you don't use this kind of nice, but don't look at me. That is like a blank check for myself to live an unholy life. To live any way I like. Don't look at me, look at Christ. But Jesus says otherwise. Be my witnesses. From when? From Jerusalem first, and then Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth, for them. And the Apostle Paul did that. God did that through the disciples. It spread from Jerusalem to Judea. And then a persecution came, it spread far and wide to Samaria. And then God called Peter by a vision, by a dream, even as God prepared Cornelius. He was the first Gentile during that period to be saved by the apostles, with the apostles present, to authenticate that the word of God, that the Spirit of God is given to all Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles, all alike, as evidenced by the common physical, visible experience of tongue speaking. For us, our Jerusalem begins with our home, our families. And then it will spread far and wide to distant land. That's our uttermost part of the earth. And so when you go back home, don't be a stumbling block to your own children. Don't allow yourself to be deluded. And you become a missionary to all the distant land. And then your own children do not know Christ because they don't see Christ in father, in mother. That will not bring glory to the Lord. You begin and you make sure that every facet of your life, they must see Christ. Husband-wife relationship, God-honoring. Parent-child relationship, God-honoring. Friend and friend relationship, God-honoring. Friend and enemies of God, God-honoring relationship. Every area of our lives, be God's witness, be the witness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That must be our heart's cry and our heart's desire. That's what Jesus expects of all of us. Witnessing for Christ till He comes. Not just with our words, but more so with our life. Whatever you and I read in the epistles, the Apostle Paul is not sharing some kind of theory with us, correct biblical theory. They shared their life with us, their conviction that are Bible-based. And Paul says, rejoice evermore. He was languishing in prison. He was not just telling us, rejoice evermore under all circumstances. He was telling us, this is my experience while I'm languishing in prison, waiting to be martyred for Jesus' sake. I am rejoicing in my heart. No comforts of life, shivering and cold, did not even have an outer garment with him. And he told the Christians, rejoice evermore. Was he just giving them a very nice, theoretical, biblical platitude? No. He was sharing with them from their heart, from his heart. Rejoice evermore. Don't allow the external circumstances to take away the joy that you have in Jesus Christ. To know that you are saved. To know that you are in the will of God, serving him faithfully, diligently, with the best of everything that you have, with God's enabling, led and filled by the Spirit of God. That's how you be God's witness. His blueprint must be Christ. Must begin from your home to the rest. No area of your life must bring shame to the name of our Savior. I can't be the best pastor, best teacher of God's word, and try to be that and ignore my relationship with my wife. And then end up divorced. You want a pastor who's divorced? Or I am a terrible father to my children, and my children are wayward. They are lovers of the world. No area of my life must bring shame to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you and I be the witness for our Savior, the power for witnessing, the Holy Spirit. The blueprint for witnessing, be Christ's witness. Not your own, not anybody else, but Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures. And begin from your home, everywhere you go. And then finally, the duration for witnessing. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. They can't see him anymore. It was one thing to stand there and stare up heavenward after the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these final words, and then he started to ascend all the way up to heaven. And then he disappeared into the clouds. But they continued to stand there and continued to stare upwards. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, they could not take their eyes away, even though the Lord Jesus Christ has really disappeared from their sight. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, most likely angels. And then they said to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" Was this a mild rebuke from the angels to them? There is so much more to do. You and I must not just stand there and stare up into the heavens. The Lord Jesus Christ, please don't expect him to come down immediately, disciples. You see Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith today. Just as the disciples must from henceforth see the Lord Jesus Christ with your eyes of faith. And then you continue to serve him faithfully and be his witnesses. Don't just sit there and stare up into the heavens and do nothing. Busy yourself. Go out there and be God's witnesses. For how long? Until the Lord returns, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He will descend. And this time when he returns at his second coming, he will no longer come as Savior. He will come as the judge of all judges, and the badge that he wears will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is why when he returns at his second coming, you don't shout, "Save me! Hosanna," he's not going to save you. He is now coming as a judge. You better believe in him right now. That is the only time when you are still breathing. That's what Jesus said to Martha. "Whosoever that liveth," that is alive right now, "and believeth in me shall never die." It is right now that you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is right now that we have to be God's witnesses in this sin-sick world where Satan is still the prince. Graduates, never forget what you learn. Never forget that it is not FEBC that you must lean upon. And never yourself, never your skill, never your degree, but always the Holy Spirit. And you are to be Christ's witnesses. No longer your own. You have to die to self daily. And you have to keep on serving and be God's witness. For how long? Until the Lord calls you home, or until the Lord Jesus returns. Because when the Lord returns, even if you want to serve and be his witness, it's no longer possible. It's all over. And so keep on witnessing, keep on serving until the Lord returns. Amen.